Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast. In this episode, I interview Cale Conley, a professional race car driver in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We talk about his love for racing, how the sport has changed over the past 15 years, his favorite racetracks, his favorite racing movies, and his future racing goals. Let's get it! I am here with Cale Conley, a NASCAR Xfinity Series race car driver. Cale, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for letting me get on and talk with you. It's exciting to get back in touch with you and talk about racing a little bit.
It is exciting. Cale is actually from my hometown in West Virginia. I know his family very well. My sister and his whole family, like, we all just kind of grew up together right down the street from each other. And when this podcast kind of came to be, I knew I had to get you on here, man. So thank you for just giving me a little time right at the beginning of this race season, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's really no biggie. I'm passionate about racing, and whenever anybody wants to talk about it, it's really fun and easy for me to answer any questions and talk about something I love. So I just appreciate the interest and you wanted to make this happen.
Yeah. So Cale, walk us through racing. Walk us through stock car racing. Did you love it growing up, or how did you get introduced to NASCAR racing, man? When did you realize that this is what you wanted to do for your life? Like, walk us through that, man.
Yeah. So, you know, let's put it this way. I don't ever remember not wanting to race NASCAR. I think it's good. One of those dreams that I don't know if I was born with it or I just got love struck by it at such an early age that I remember the moment or what created it. My dad raced in a series called the ASA series. It was kind of a Midwest regional traveling series. Stock cars, you know, they look like NASCARs, little V6 engines in them instead of the V8s. And my uncle raced dirt cars, dirt late models. And I was, you know, one all the way to about 6 or 7 when that was going on. So right when the age of looking up at those guys, my dad and my uncle, as like heroes because they were driving race cars. So yeah. I would say that had a big to do with me and my dream being a race car driver instead of a football player, or, you know, the average dream. So I was really lucky that my dad was able to support me go-kart racing right from age 6 all the way through my childhood. We traveled a lot, but, you know, it was always NASCAR for me, stock car racing. That's where my dream was. It was never really IndyCar or drag racing or anything else, because NASCAR, those guys, there was just something so...
So, yeah, I think with NASCAR, one of the things that I think is easy to draw people in is they look like real cars. They're not these Indy cars. They're not these, like, drag cars. They look like, you see a Monte Carlo on the street, you know what I mean? They look like real cars that you can get in and drive, but obviously they're not. But I think that's, there's like that relatability to it.
Yeah, especially for the fans that are getting, you know, getting into sport for the first time, it's something more relatable to them. And it's just a good time. The races are a good time. They're a big campground, festival kind of weekend atmosphere, and you don't have to be a redneck to enjoy the races, but it's, you know, it's just a fun, good time, and I'm really happy to be involved with that sport, and I hope I can reach the top and accomplish all my goals in it. That would be a very good feeling.
Yeah, man. You know, I think NASCAR gets a really bad rap with that whole redneck vibe. Because there are a lot of fun to go to a race. They really are. If you've never been to a race, I highly, highly recommend it. You know, growing up, Cale, my dad actually had season tickets to Bristol. So he would head down to the day races and then, you know, go back for the night races. And it was just so much fun. I mean, the people there are almost just as much fun as watching the race. But it is just
exactly
incredible.
Yeah.
When we lived in North Carolina, man, we went down to Charlotte and saw the All-Star race and, you know, other races they have. And it is just so much fun. It's like this huge spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, the raw speed of the cars and the sounds and the smell of the fumes and the, you know, people don't realize things like when a whole pack of 40 cars go by at almost 200 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
There's a big shift of wind that rushes through the crowd and stuff like that. That's just pretty, pretty cool. You got to be there to experience it.
Yeah. Now, I will say, fans of NASCAR, they are very passionate about who they like and who they don't like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you'll see guys drink Miller Lite because they like certain driver you know, they're only going to wear Old Spice deodorant because they like another driver. So it's definitely a brand loyalty sport.
Yo, I remember when we went to a couple races at Charlotte, this one mug who was sitting a couple rows like in front of us, he never missed. I think it was Dale Jr. at the time, maybe, or it was someone, but every time without fail that car passed, you flip him the bird, double deuce, man, every time he went by, and it was without fail.
That's funny.
I think he'd remember it.
Yeah.
This was always double deuce, yelling
a couple
very colorful words as well. Dude, they are passionate.
That is funny because that's so true. You see that. You see that all the time. And, dude, he would. You know, it's.
Yeah, flip the double deuce while holding a beer and smoking a cigarette all at the same time without a shirt on.
That's a talent. That's a NASCAR talent right there.
Yeah. I'm feeding into like this negative stereotype.
It's all right.
That's just what it was.
You know, that's the grassroots fans, and that's where it started. And, you know, we are in West Virginia. Heck, you know, we're just, you know, not downgrading myself, but we're just hillbillies at the heart, and I'm a NASCAR fan myself, and I'm just a lucky fan that's gotten to drive, and I love it, man.
Yeah, I do think fans do get a bad rap. Growing up, every Sunday with the race, my dad and I would get shoelaces and map out the track for the day. We would take our, like, Hot Wheels NASCAR cars we would get, and we would follow the race with our cars as they went by. It was just something fun for the family to do. And going to a race that really is special and a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool.
I recommend that.
That's new. I've never heard the shoelace track thing. That's pretty cool.
We had caution cars and ambulances and fire trucks. And even if there wasn't a wreck, we made sure to have a big wreck at the track. So Cale, how, did you pass your driver's test when you first took it when you were 15 and 16?
Well, I failed the written test the first time. But that goes with, you know, I was always one that struggled in the books at school. I would rather be hands-on with something. You know, my favorite classes were the shop classes. Or I took welding and the tech school and in high school, and those were always the ones I seemed like those were classes were so easy because I loved them. But so the book work on the driving test, I definitely failed that the first time, but I'm not as bad as my sister. I think she failed like three times, my older sister Sienna. So I did get passed on my second try, and then I've had a little bit of unfortunate stuff with some speeding tickets, but other than that I've been good.
Well, that was what I was going to ask next. Is it hard to transition from 180 to 200 on the speedway to 35, 45 down Main Street? I mean, how long does it take for you to adjust?
It's not at all, because it's such a different ball game. I mean, when you're racing, you're on a racetrack, and you know, you've got it feels like you're locked in a space shuttle. I mean, the seats, the carbon fiber, they're little cocoons is what they are. And you sit in them, you've got 8 seat belts that are strapped around your body. And you've got 3 layers of fireproof equipment on, you know, a big, you know, neck and head restraint, and plus your helmet, gloves, shoes. You're kind of just in your own little world, sweating your butt off. And by the time you get in a regular vehicle, it's such a different, you know, you gotta, you just, it's not even comparable, but it is a good thought to think, you know, how's the race car driver go from getting on this the racetrack to getting on the road and not flying at 90 miles an hour. I think that it's just different.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up a lot of that seatbelt too, because it does seem like in the past 10 years there's been a huge push for driver safety inside the vehicle, as far as like the Hans device and all that stuff. Cale, have you ever felt like scared or like, holy crap, what's about to happen? Have you ever been in a bad wreck, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. And what was your thought process as that was happening and unfolding?
Yeah, I would compare it to, like anything else, football or, dirt bike riding. You know you're going to crash. It's not if I crash, it's just when.
Uh-huh.
Or in football terms, it's not, not get hit. You just got to take it and roll with it. So that's just part of the sport. And it's like you just have this absence of fear or imagination that anything is going to happen bad to you, just because you know that it's not, and you just keep on rolling through whatever comes your way. So we've had some bad wrecks in I've been racing since I was 6 years old, and I've been fortunate enough to not get hurt bad any time. The only injuries I've ever had was concussion wise and a small foot injury when I was younger. Other than that, I've been pretty lucky.
That's great, man.
This sport has came a long, long way, and I'm fortunate enough to be racing in this safe day. But back in the day, nobody knew any different. I'm sure the sport will continue to get safer and safer here in the next 10, 20 years from where we're at right now.
Yeah. Cale, what is your favorite racing movie?
Well, I gotta go with Days of Thunder. Tom Cruise, guys, Cole Trickle.
Yeah.
That was a childhood favorite always. I mean, the intro, the music and everything. I'll never forget that. Me and my buddies, we still crank it on the radio sometimes.
Did you like it for the racing or Nicole Kidman?
When I was little, the racing.
So what is your favorite track? You look forward to every year on the schedule. What would you say the answer to that would be?
Daytona and Talladega are two that, going back to your last question that you say, have you ever wondered what the heck, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm scared. So those two I would put in that category because they're such a uncertain, sketchy pack racing. You just know somebody's going to land in your lap on a big wreck. But at the same time, those tracks, you can really steal a good finish even if you're having a bad day because of the type of racing it is. So you got to put those two in a love-hate category, no matter how you look at it. And then my other favorite, I don't know, I've got like four or five favorites that I seem to have run good at a couple times, but I'd say my all-time favorite's either Bristol or Darlington. Bristol is just iconic, and I watched Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt race there when I was little, and just to think that I got to race there with them, or not with them, but at the same track that they raced at. Dream come true. And then Darlington is just it's a beast of a racetrack. You got to run wide open right next to a concrete wall that's not very forgiving. So it takes a lot of patience to get around there all race without tearing up your stuff and getting knocked out of the race.
So for those of us who don't really understand the differences in kinds of track, and you mentioned kind of how they run, can you just take a couple moments here to explain like the couple major styles and racetracks? Like you said, Daytona and Talladega kind of are in this pack, and Bristol's way different than those tracks for people who don't know. Could you take a couple moments and try to, as like easily and simply as possible, explain that?
Yeah. So starting with the big tracks, Daytona and Talladega are the two biggest. They're 2.5 miles in length.
Ovals.
Yeah, they're ovals, and then the cars would be going so fast around them, wide open. What I mean by that, they're so big, and the cars have so much grip that you wouldn't have to lift off the gas. You would be hammered down the entire lap. NASCAR make sure you run restrictor plates to slow the cars down, just to keep fans safe in case there was a wreck, no cars would get airborne, and keep the drivers safe. And in them doing that, it's created pack racing where the cars draft off each other in a large pack, sometimes 3-4 wide, 10 rows deep. And when you're in a big bunch of cars like that, we're all human. We all make mistakes. Sometimes you have big wrecks. And those are the only two tracks that are like that. And then you've got a big chunk of tracks that are 2 miles to a mile and a half. Like your Charlottes and Las Vegas and they race pretty, you know, they race like a short track, but they're so fast that a lot of aero dependency comes into play and pit strategy. And then you've got your short tracks, like Bristol and Martinsville and Richmond and New Hampshire, that just like old school Saturday night racing that people would go watch at their local tracks, where you beat and bang and sparks fly and you know, you can tear up your fenders a little bit because aerodynamics isn't as big because you're not going as fast down the straightaway because the track's much smaller. But they put on really good races, and I think that's why the fans like those so much. And, you know, Bristol is a short track, and it's one of my favorites, but I also say Darlington's one of my favorites because it's a bigger, but it races like a short track because you're slipping and sliding on that old surface. So, there's just a lot that goes into each track and setting these race cars up, but track service to, you know, the amount of dew in the air, every little factor means something towards the grip. So it's so much to take in and learn, but it is fun to be a fan and watch it all take part and take place on a racetrack.
All right, dude, final question here. You mentioned earlier there are some goals you still want to accomplish. So what do those look like, and what is in store next for Kel Conley Racing? And like, when's your next race, man? When can we catch you next?
So, you know, if you would ask me what my goals were 2 years ago, I would say to be the next Winston or the next Sprint Cup or the Monster Energy Cup champion.
Sure.
Within the next 4 seasons. Or 3 seasons. The last year with sponsorship being as rough as it is to find and keep, we didn't race one NASCAR race last year, and we're working hard to get back on the NASCAR tracks this season. So I think we're going to make it happen. Things are looking good, but I would say my goal this year is to stay positive no matter what the situation is and be thankful for the opportunities that I have had and the opportunities that I'm going to get, and make the boast of them and let it rip out there. And then stay cool and level-headed and do all my work off the track. That way, when I do get a chance to fight for a cup championship, I'll be ready to go win it. And, not so much look at the results, but enjoy the process at the same time. I think as I get older, you realize that there's not many people that get to live their dream, and for someone that for anybody that dreamed of doing something when they're 5 years old to, you know, 20 years later they're actually doing it, it's pretty amazing. And sometimes you just gotta sit back, take a deep breath, and think about how fortunate you are to be able to do it. So, but that and win races. That's my goal.
my favorite racing movie is Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. There you go. So Kel Conley, you have one top 10 finish. You've been only on the circuit for 2 years, man, and I can't wait to see your continued success and good luck in all you do. And I can't wait to watch you race here in a couple weeks, hopefully, and in the future, man. You got a fan here on the Chase Smith podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
This is great, man. We'll do it again. Thanks, Kale.
See you, Chase. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.